We can't all get to France for the weekend, but we can visit the local movie theater. What's on this weekend? It's time for our weekly digest of what the critics are saying about The Force being with a certain new release. Here's Mark Jordan Ligon with Slate's Summary Judgment.
Okay, let's get right to that prequel that everyone in the world is talking about. That's right, Dominion, prequel to The Exorcist. Now, don't get your Obi-Wan in a twist. We'll get to that other little film in a minute. But first, in limited release, we have Paul Schrader's version of The Exorcist prequel. Now, the odd thing about this one is that after Schrader, who wrote Taxi Driver and Raging Bull, turned in his finished film, the studio deemed it too slow and not scary enough and dumped the whole thing. Then they hired Rennie Harlan of Die Hard 2 and Cliffhanger fame to make the film over and add more jolts and shake it up. Harlan's version was a critical and commercial flop last year, and thanks to the internet and horror film fans asking for it, Schrader's version is now seeing the light of day.
I built a church on top of this. That's why they buried it, to hold this down. They used St. Michael to emphasize that the old gods had no power before the one.
But I never believed.
Well, most of the critics like it better than Harlan's version, but not by much. Even though LA Weekly found it an ambitious, serious-minded horror opus, The Village Voice sniffs, predictably, Schrader's version is as sober as Harlan's is beery. And Entertainment Weekly says this film is a notch better than Harlan's. It's elegantly framed and stately, where the other one was music video pushy. So basically, we have strike two for The Exorcist prequel. Why don't they give the same script to the Farrelly brothers, and then maybe There's Something About Satan will finally hit box office gold. Speaking of box office gold, this week's only wide release, make that super wide release, is Star Wars Episode 3, Revenge of the Nerds, or the Sith, sorry. The final chapter in the prequel trilogy shows how young Anakin Skywalker becomes Darth Vader, and then, oh come on, if you need a plot recap, this movie doesn't need you.
All who gain power are afraid to lose it, even the Jedi.
The Jedi use their power for good.
Good is a point of view, Anakin. The Sith and the Jedi are similar in almost every way, including their quest for greater power.
The Sith rely on their passion for their strength. They think inwards, only about themselves.
And the Jedi don't.
Now, you might recall episodes 1 and 2 were panned as nearly unwatchable by many critics. This time, they're being pretty kind. That George Lucas is a genius. He didn't want to make those movies so lame, but he was forced to by the dark side. The New York Times crows that Sith is by far the best film in the more recent trilogy, and also the best of the four Mr. Lucas has directed. That's right, it's better than Star Wars. The Baltimore Sun calls it a pop masterpiece, but the New York Daily News sums it up best for all the film's detractors, and they are out there. The dialogue is astonishingly feeble, and the acting unforgivably wooden. In fact, complaints about the acting and dialogue abound, even in the positive reviews. But most critics seem happy to overlook such earthly quibbles when it comes to a franchise that's meant so much to so many for so long. The Washington Post calls it a brilliant consummation to a promise made a long time ago, far, far away, in a galaxy called 1977. Of course, my one complaint with the film is that it never does explain how Darth Vader ended up doing voiceovers for CNN. But maybe that's another movie.
Mark Jordan Ligon is a Jedi class writer living in Los Angeles.